Recordings are connected. You may proceed.
Thanks, Zach. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 7th of March, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? All right, thank you. As a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and also keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call back over to Jeff Newman.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for showing up 2 days in a row. Today's really one agenda item, which is to cover the second reading of the questions for CC2, which, again, we are not going to release them, we're not going to publicly post them for comment until after the ICANN meeting. But we are going to post them up on our wiki, send them out to the leaders and others so that we can have a discussion of those questions of CC2 at the ICANN meeting. So we will not start a comment period until after the ICANN meeting is over. With that said, I will ask if there are any updates to the statements of interest from yesterday. I'm assuming there are none, but I will give a second for those that have changed anything. Okay, there have been no changes that I can see in the last day. And I will turn it over to Avery to start the second reading, and then we will take turns when Avery gets tired and wants me to jump in. Avery, are you booted up yet and ready to go?
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, very well.
Then I didn't need to reboot. Okay. One other thing I wanted to add. This is Avery Doria speaking. One other thing I wanted to add, why is this the second reading and is the last necessary reading normally before going out for the commentary? Should the discussions next week present us any substantive changes, then I'll be recommending that we do a third reading of at least those substantive changes before sending it out. So I just want to basically let people know that you don't need to worry about them changing during the discussion. We will come back to discuss anything that's substantively different. Obviously, we won't come back for grammar and the like, or clarifying a sentence with should we versus would it be nice if we type of substitution. But other than that, for substantive ones. Okay. So starting, I'll be following it in the Google Doc because it's easier for me to see and manipulate, but it's in the screen. I assume the screen is, whether it's synced or unsynced, so you all can move along. So I'm going to go through the first part, paragraph by paragraph. In the first paragraph, I notice that we still have yet to put in the date of the application guidebook dated. That should be easy to find. It's just one of us has to do it before it goes out. Any comments or questions on that first paragraph? Okay, moving on. And please shout and do hands. And Jeff, you tell me if I've jumped too quick. Okay, then we go into background on new GTLD subsequent procedures. Any comment on that first paragraph? Second. Third. And moving on to the paragraph that bridges the page, which lists the other efforts that we're following and waiting on. Any comments on that paragraph running into page two? Okay, I see none. Okay, section two, community comment request, and the first paragraph there. Okay, any comments on the table, which is the list of subjects that we have questions on? these are the subjects that the subteams have been covering. Any comment on those as we move into page three? Okay. And then the last paragraph where we say we look forward to any comments. Any comments on that? This is on page three. Okay. Got through that one. Now the harder part. Okay. Annex A on page four, starting with work subjects. There's the registry service provider, the section 1.1, accreditation programs, reference to the wiki page. Then there's three paragraphs of explanation on this page. Paragraph one on context. Any comments on that paragraph? Paragraph two, any comments on that one? Okay. Paragraph three, which ends the page on page four. Any comments on that one? Okay. There weren't many changes made since the last reading on that. Now we come into a page five, that starts to have some of the changes made after the last reading. So then we have 1.1.1. And, okay. Does it look the same in yours as it does on the, so you can see all the changes. I just want to make sure. Okay, so on 1.1, there was basically a rewrite of the first sentence and a deletion of two other sentences. Are there any issues with the rewrite in terms of trying to make it, not talking about beliefs and such? So any comments on 1.1? I'll give a little bit of time for anybody that hasn't looked at the changes there. It's really only that one sentence and the deletions. Okay. Moving on to 1.1.2. There was the addition of or requirements in that sentence. Any questions on that? No? Okay. Moving on to 1.1.3. Only a one-word change. Any issues? 1.1.4, a clause at the end, added, or other factors, if so, what? I think we've added that in many places in one form or another. Any comment? I see none. As I say, do shout out. I'm looking quickly and reading the chat. 1.1.6, redumbering because of a deletion. 1.1.7 is a new one that was constructed. Should be a process to assess RSPs on a periodical. Is it periodical or periodic? If so, how often should an assessment be conducted, and what should the process be for a reapproval? Any comments on that one? And if anybody's got a comment on reciprocal versus periodic versus periodical, please put it in the chat, as opposed to wordsmithing in real time. Okay, no comments on 1.1.7. 1.1.8. If there is an RSP program, how far in advance should such a program be launched prior to the opening of the next application window? Any comment on that one? No? Okay. 1.1.9 was also a new sentence and a deletion. Should there be an RSP application cutoff date to allow for sufficient time for RSPs seeking approval to receive approval in order for their application to be approved before the opening of an application window? Any comment on that one? Yes, Cavus, please. Cavus? I don't hear you. You may be muted.
Do you hear me?
Now I do.
Okay.
Now I hear you.
Now. Okay, thank you. I just want to suggest that if you read with all of these small paragraphs, one after the other, it takes very long time. But I suggest that in 1-1, you just focus on the changes this has made. Otherwise, we don't need to go that one by one, because that would be very, very time-consuming. So just make it a reference to the changes in Section 1-1. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I was being a little bit more, but if you notice, most of these did have a small change in them, but I don't know how others feel about it. We're only 13 minutes in, but I'll try to speed it up. I take the admonition. Okay. So, if people are okay with Kavusha's suggestion, are there any comments now on 1.1.10 or 1.1.11? Since it's too late for me to do 1.1 as a bucket. Any comments on those last two? Okay. Looking at 1.2, we've had some wording changes, had some sentences edited. You'll see changes in almost every one of the line items there. And are there any comments on any of the lines in 1.2 that people would like to discuss? Okay, in which case there's no objection. I will move on from 1.2, and yes, Kavush, that is quicker. Okay, moving on to 1.3. 1.3, any comments on 1.3.1 contained in there with some rewrite? Okay, hearing none, seeing no hands. Okay, I will move on to 1.4, application fee. Application fee, there was a bunch of rewording in 1.4.1, some wording in 1.4.2, some wording change in 1.4.3. 1.4 was largely, 1.4.4 was largely rewritten, and 1.4.5, some wording changes. Any comments on any of the lines within 1.4? Hearing none, seeing no hands, I will move on. 1.5, variable fees. Changes, wording changes made in 151, 152, and 153 has been added, a placeholder regarding the volume of applications, impact questions, etc. I have a question on that one. What are we doing with the placeholder? And should we not have a placeholder at this point? Anybody? I admit I spent very little time on the document while Steve and others were massively doing edits. So Steve or someone can, Jeff, can comment on what we're going to do about 153? Yes, please, Steve.
Thanks, Ari. This is Steve. as we were going through the incorporating changes yesterday, so the placeholder that you're seeing was, that's what was the existing text that we saw when we started reviewing the document. So we took that to mean that that's a placeholder and that what should be inserted is a question drafted related to the volume of applications as well as the impact and suggestions. So that is our suggested language that we put in there to replace that placeholder. And
okay.
I am hoping that we got the sentiment correct. I'm not sure who put the placeholder in, but my guess is it was probably Krista, but she's not on the call.
Okay, thanks. So thank you. So if anything, we should turn that into a question and, you know, sort of, are there any issues related to the volume of applications? Would that be a sufficient translation for that placeholder so we could call it done? Yes, Steve.
Hi, Ivy. This is Steve. Thanks. I think you possibly might be looking at an older version on the Google document. Proposed language already.
I thought Google Doc was still the latest. I didn't realize you had. That's why I said I was using that at the beginning. Sorry. So I have to look at it in the tiny window here, is what you're saying?
I just put the link into the AC room. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Aubrey, I can read the question if you want, so you know. But basically,
okay.
It just says,
and I'll get to the right place in the new file.
Okay, this is Jeff Newman. So the question now says, should the application fee be variable based on the volume of applications received from a single applicant? If so, how should the fee be adjusted, and what are the potential impacts from doing so? So I think that is a pretty good question. I don't know if anyone's got any comments because this is the first time you're seeing it.
Okay.
But this was a discussion that was had within WorkTrack 1.
Okay, thank you. And I've now got the right document open in front of me. Okay, so are there any comments on that? And thank you, Jeff, for reading it. And thank you, Steve, for getting me on the right page, as it were. Okay, so 1.6. Any comments on that? Okay, 1.6, application submission period. We have 3 points in that one, 1.6.1, 1.6.2, 1.6.3. Any comments on any of those? Okay, thank you, and I see Katrine. Support for 1.5.3 is worded. Thank you. Okay, any comments on 1.6? Moving on. 1.7, application queuing. We have 1.7.1 and 1.7.2. Any comments? Yes, Tavis.
Yes, on 1.7.2, we add IBM or some other group of applications. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean by some other group of application in parallel to the IDN or in comparison with the IDN. What do you mean by some other group of application? Could we have some example, such as what?
I believe the examples would be, for example, brands, communities, or something like that. Oh, Jeff, I see your hand up. Oh, no. You took your hand down. Jeff, please.
Yeah, I think this is Jeff. You're right, Aubrey. So maybe we just change the word to category, I think is what we were trying to go with there. So it's, should you prioritize IDNs, or should you prioritize, as Aubrey said, communities or brands or geographic? So I think that's what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, that is good if you do that. Thank you.
Okay, so perhaps both category and an example, or is just category sufficient, Kavus?
Both of them. If you give an example, the reader know what you mean by some other application. If you give an example, if you want to use the specific case, also that is the case.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, it is sad, yeah.
So perhaps we should put in a for example there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. So that change is being made as we speak. Okay, thank you, Steve. Were there any other comments on 1.7 before I move on? 1.8, any comments on either 1.8.1 or 1.8.2? Okay, seeing none. 1.9, communications. We have 1.9.1, 1.9.2. Any comment on either of those? I see no comments, hands. Alexander was saying, sorry, Topa was listing a typo. Is that what I'm understanding? Okay. That was on an earlier post. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm looking only intermittently and got confused. Okay. So that 1.9.1 was okay. 1.10. There's 1.10.1. Any comment on that? Okay. And that's 22 minutes to make it through number one. A breath. Work track two. Legal, regulatory, and contractual requirements. 2.1, base registry agreement. There's 211, 212, 213. Any comments on any of those and the changes made in them? Yes, Kavush.
Yes, just a clarification. In 213, we have added explicitly identified. Does it mean that there are cases that are implicitly identified and this explicitly identified? Just a clarification. I have no objection to the text, but I want just to understand what we mean by explicitly identified. That means others are not identified.
Right. I think that in the application, there are, I forget how many questions, but millions. And some of the questions could be indicated saying the response to this question will be included in your registry contract and yes. and would be part of that contract. So those sections of the application would be explicitly identified as such.
Okay.
And no, I'm sure that if I was wrong, either Steve or Jeff would jump up and tell me.
No, I have no problem. Thank you. I understand that now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, 2.2, reserved names. Oh, is that a new hand, Kavus?
No, sorry. It's the old hand. I didn't.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Put it down. Sorry, okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 2.2, reserved names. 221, 222, and 223. And there's also 224 and 225 on the next page. Any comments on any of those lines on reserved names? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. 2.3, registrant protection. We've got 231, 232, 233.
Aubrey, this is Jeff.
Yes, please, Jeff.
That's okay. I want to, Alexander has posted something in the chat. He says, in work track two, I still miss any question about 2.2.1.4.1. Treatment of country or territory names. So let's take a look.
Okay.
From my
2.2.1. Right.
Okay, yeah, from my perspective, Aubrey, I think the reason we didn't create any questions on country or territory names is we are still waiting for the output of the cross-community working group on country and territory names at the top level. So I think we thought it was a little premature to raise some questions at this point. Not that we won't at some other point have some questions, but at this point I think we were just waiting for the output since they have been doing work on this. But I also want to make the point that nothing herein I'm sounding like a lawyer. Take that back. Just because we have CC2 does not mean that's true. Just because we have CC2 doesn't mean that we can't at some future point ask other questions that might come up in a future comment period. So we still have that. And Heather has pointed out that the interim report of the CWG of the use of country and territory names has been published for comment, I think, since early February. So that's already out there. But Alexander, I saw you raise your hand. Do you want to speak?
Yeah, okay. Hi. I am a member of the CWG UCTN. And especially when it comes to three-letter codes and country and territory names, they more or less declare that they don't have any answer. So the only answer they have is that two-letter top-level domains should be reserved for countries, and that's kind of an understanding everyone has, I think. So we will most likely don't get any input now from the CWG UCTN, but if we later have time to talk about this or to have input, that's fine. I just want to avoid that the same happens like in the last round, that at the end of the day we say, oh, we never really discussed those names, and the GAC wants to prevent carnage, so we exempt them, because that was happened last time. We said we're exempting them. The 2.2.1.4.1 basically says, oh, we never agreed on how to treat those names. That's why in this round we don't allow them. We talk about it in the next round. But I heard you, Jeff, that there will be still time later to entertain a discussion about it, and that's fine.
Okay. So we don't need to add a question at this point, is what we're agreeing. I just want to make sure we don't go by it too quickly. Yes, okay.
So, Alexander again. The questions that are arising out of it had been asked by the CWG UCTN. And they asked a lot of questions and they got answers, so it's a big it's a big point, actually. It's not just one question. So we might even simply look into the answers that they got and work up from there.
Sounds like a really good approach. Okay, yes, Kavos.
Yes, there are two ways to address this question. Either we say that pending the outcome of the CWG, of the geographical name and so on and so forth, this is one way to allow the outcome of that. We're not contradicting now, not forecasting anything, but we say whatever we have now, because we don't know what is the outcome. Or saying that notwithstanding with the outcome of that. So there are two ways to put this a safety valve here, that we are still waiting for something. So there are ways to address that if really is needed to address. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I think that, you know, there are many questions we don't ask, and so I don't want to get into starting to discuss why a particular question was not included in the questionnaire. And I think that a good point was made that we will be taking the CCWG UCTN final report and considering it in detail and going through their questions. So at this point, we really don't need a question, and nor should we get into explaining. Oh, and then I have a question, though, from Donna. Should there be a note mentioning that country and territory name have been left out of this exercise for X reason? Don't we already have a similar note to that in terms of at the top in the explanation about the fact that we're waiting on the output of those teams? But we can certainly add a note to that fact on reserve names. Do people think a footnote on that on 224, I mean on 22, is a good thing to do? And, though, if we do that, are there other issues that we're waiting on the reports that we're not dealing with? So that starts to become an exhaustive list. Okay, I'm seeing some support for footnote. Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff Newman. I think we did something similar for rights protection mechanisms. I think we, at least if I'm not remembering correctly, I thought with RPMs, we basically said that we were, and I'm trying to find it now as I'm scrolling through, maybe we did take it out. Never mind. I thought we had said something with RPMs, but potentially not.
Steve is typing. Jeff, you deleted it.
Okay, there you go.
No wonder you remember it. Okay, so I propose, okay, Cavus, your hand is up, please.
Yes, my suggestion would be there might be some other area that we wait for the outcome of something. Wouldn't be a possibility to add one general note dealing with the issue that some of the actions or questions raised depend on the outcome of, and then we mentioned out of what, rather than going in each case, because we may overlook a particular case and so on and so forth. I'm just suggesting that whether it would be useful to have a general note to foresee such occurrence of outcome of any other group which might impact these questions. This is my suggestion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And that could go as almost the last line of section one of the letter at the beginning, where we list the efforts of the other groups we are waiting for.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says we're aware of other efforts, blah, blah, blah. And then we could add a single sentence that no, we have not included questions on these issues in anticipation of reviewing their output. That sound good? Okay. I don't know if anybody captured, but yeah. Okay, I see Adana says, yep, and no other hands. So, okay. So we'll move on then from 2.2. Thank you for the issue and the solution. So no other questions on 2.2? Okay. Moving on to 2.3, registrant protections. And we have 231, 232, 233. Any comments on any of those line questions, question lines? I see none. I will move on to 2.4, closed generics. We have two questions, 241 and 242. Any questions? Okay. Comments? No. On 2.4 and 2.5. And here we have options in 2.1. So we need to talk through the options here. Okay. There's application terms and conditions. So should I talk through that, Jeff, or would you like to talk through that, since I have a feeling you wrote more of it?
Sorry, with the section 2.5?
Yeah, the 2.5 were the option 1 and option 2, but I see Cavus has his hand up. So first let me check what he's up to, and then if you're willing, take us through 2.5.
Yes, no problem with the option.
Please, Cavus.
But I think it should be some short introductory why we need two options. Because all of a sudden, we go to option 1 and option 2. Without knowing that why we need these two options. Wouldn't it be possible to have a short sentence, the need for the options, or the conclusion that there is no single way to address the issue and we need to have options? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. There's also the possibility, yeah, that we would decide on which option here. So please, Jeff, please talk to us.
Yeah, thanks, Aubrey. This is Jeff. Yeah, the options were for us as a group to pick one to put to keep in this document. We were going to only display one of these options. They ask the same or similar questions in a little bit different ways. So the first one was a proposal by Paul McGrady, and I kind of worked on this proposal based on
Paul's comment yesterday. So the first option quotes the relevant provision in the terms and conditions and then asks, do you believe that this paragraph gives ICANN an absolute right to reject any applications for any reason, including a reason that contradicts the applicant guidebook or any law or policy? If yes, should an unrestricted right appear in any modification to the guidebook? If no, please list the other documents that you believe should be read in conjunction with this paragraph, example, GNSO policy on new GTLDs, ICANN bylaws, other portions of the guidebook, California implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing, etc. And option two is a another question which is much more brief, but it states that according to Section 3 of the applicant terms and conditions, ICANN retains the right to determine not to proceed with an application probably should be singular, or delegate a TLD in the root zone. This provision is a cause for concern for many applicants. Do you have any suggestions on establishing controls to limit ICANN's ability to utilize this provision? If yes, please explain. So the question for this group to consider is, which of the two options do we like better, and which ones would we rather use? So I want to throw that out there.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I suggest, first of all, that we just sort of take a step back here and basically ask, is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of option one and just sort of comment on it or put down checks if you're much in favor of option one? It's not a vote just to see who likes what. Okay, I see no one wants to speak in favor of option one, though I do see Heather wrote excellent question, and I think she wrote it while option one was being read, but I wouldn't swear to it. And we have a Paul McGrady check on it. Jeff said he'd like to hear from Paul. Paul, would you like to be heard from?
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Paul McGrady. Yeah, I'd like to be heard from, I guess as I'm comparing options one and option two, and I think option two is, again, same problem with it in its original form, which is it presupposes the answer as opposed to setting forth what the text says objectively and then asking questions about the text. It in fact, summarizes the text with a presupposition about what the text says and then goes on to ask the question. The summary does not contain any reference to the limitations in the text itself about the effect of law and policy. And so I just don't think option two sort of reflects reality as written in the guidebook. So it's not so much for option one, which I think does a better job of setting forth what the text actually says and then asking questions about how people think and feel about it. Option two just doesn't do that. It does something else. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Tavus.
Yes, my problem is not that. My problem is that the structure of the section is or does the options 1 and 2 relate to paragraph 2, 5, 1, or they may extend to paragraph 2, 5, 2. If it is only limited to 2, 5, 1, therefore we should mention under 2, 5, 1 for this application or for this term, there are two options, and I have no problem if we cannot resolve the two options to select one of them. It would be good if you have one only, but if we are not in a position to take one, I don't have any problem because we are just asking the community. But we should dissociate 251 from 252 if it does not apply to 252. So my question is that, does the two options have any impact on 252 and the remaining part 253, or is just limited to 251? Because it is the options is tabled under 251. Thank you.
Right. Yes. The optional question, I really am hoping we decide between one or the other, because otherwise it's sort of redundant and confusing, relates only to 251. 252 is a different question within the same grouping of questions. So really, we should pick between one and two, and I think we're halfway there, if it's okay. So I've heard some discussion in favor of option one and saw a few green checks. I think it was just two in favor of option one. I'd like to ask now, is there anyone that prefers option two, would like to argue for it, and would like to put a green check beside their name as a preference for option two, which was the original text that we've gone over in the past and wordsmithed? So do I have any volunteers to speak for option two? Okay, I'm not seeing any green checks. I'm not seeing any hands. So does anyone object to us going with option one and moving on from there? I see no objection to going with option one. Give it another second for people to react. No angry crosses, no hands, no comments. Let's go with option one. Okay, thank you very much for that. So now going on to 252. Oh yeah, we had all the others. We had 252, 253, and 254 in this session. Comment on those three. Okay, to move on. Seeing no hands, no oh yes, a hand. Kavush.
Yeah, just totally auditorium there. 254. Okay, no, sorry. It's already taken care. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. I always love to hear that a problem's already been taken care of. Those are the exciting moments of the day. 2.6. We have 261, 262, 263, 263. Any comments on any of those three questions? See no hands, hear no voices, see nobody typing. Okay, moving on. 27, which is TLB rollout. There's just 271. Any comments on 271? Seeing none, moving on. 2.8, one question, contractual compliance. Any questions or comments on 2.8? Okay, moving on. 2.9. We have several. We've got 291. 291, okay, no, that one was removed. No, we just have 2.9.1. Any comments or questions on that one? On global public interest? No? Okay, great. We have now completed Work Track 2. Breath. Work Track 3. 3.1, objections. There's 311, 312, 313, 314, 315, 316, 317, 318, and 319. Any comments, questions, what have you, on any of those parts of 3.1 relating to objections? A lot of them, so I'll give an extra couple beats. Seeing no comments, I'll move on. 3.2. New GTLD application freedom of expression. There's 321. Oh, there's just 321. Any comment? Okay. Moving on. Okay. 3.3. Community applications and community priority evaluation. We have 331. 332, 333. Oops, we don't have a 334, we have a 35, so we have a numbering issue. 335 and 336. So other than the numbering issue, yes, Kavush.
Yes, CQ6 is the last part. We say, should the claim to support a community affect other parts of the application process? I don't understand the objective of this. Do you mean that it should affect, or we asking whether it affects or not? So the way that question is raised is not clear.
Okay.
Could it be reworded?
And I can understand. Yeah. If I understand it correctly, and it could use a rewording perhaps, is it means that in the previous application, except for the one or two questions that were specifically about community, all the rest of the application was identical. I read this as saying, if it is a community application, should there be a different form of application that perhaps has different sets of questions or questions phrased differently? Please correct me if I misunderstood, Jeff, but that's how I read it. But I can easily see how that could be hard to parse there. And in fact, I may be parsing wrong. Jeff, please, I see your hand.
Yeah, thanks, Aubrey. I think you're parsing it partly correctly, but I think there's more. I think it also would be, I mean, you had mentioned, should there be more questions? Other people were discussing, should a community application go through CPE, even if it's not for priority, but just to say and or certify that, yes, this is a community. Should it go through CPE anyway? Because potentially being a community TLD could be a label that implies certain things about a TLD, but if it hasn't gone through an evaluation, then can it really be called a community TLD? That's something that came up in discussions. So I think we can word it. It was meant to basically say, should the claim to support a community be, I don't know how else to say, should there be questions, like you said, about it, and should it affect other parts of the evaluation process as well? But I think that's what we were trying to get at.
Jeff, I'm sorry. Should is problem at the beginning of a sentence. If you use other words, it's better than you say should. That causes difficulty of applications or implications of the should. Yeah. I don't know whether you say does or do or is there any impact or something like that rather than should. So my question is this word should. Thank you.
Okay. So, first of all, yes, we've had some normal substitutions for the word should, so we could say, do you believe? Do you think? So do you think the claim, or basically it could even be not the claim, do you think a community application should be structured differently than other applications? Is that a direct sentence that works?
For me, it's okay. I stand to be corrected by Jeff.
Did others accept that, Jeff, you structured or evaluated and or evaluated? Yes. So should community application, no. Do you think that community applications should be structured or evaluated differently from other applications? Does that work for people for that question?
Yes.
Is it clear enough? Okay, thank you, Cavus. Anybody object to that rewording? Okay. And Steve, I see that you're capturing it in the live document. Are you fine with that, Steve? Just taking a pause while Steve types so I can see that he's fine with it. Okay, yep, it looks fine. Okay, any other comments on 3.3 community applications and community priority evaluations? Nope. Okay, I'll move on. Thank you, Steve, for capturing it. And thank you for the question. Moving on to 3-4. There's 3-4-1, 3-4-2, 3-4-3, 3-4-4, 3-4-5, 3-4-6. Any comments on any of those questions? I see no comments. I hear no voices. I see Jeff typing. 3-4-6 is new. Yeah, it's all in purple. Does anybody wish to further discuss 3-4-6? I see a hand. Yes, Caboose.
Yes, no specific suggestion, but I just draw attention of ourselves to the CWG on the auction, because we are now trying to do some definitions or some arrangement that they may come up with something different. Shouldn't we have some reference that depending on or something like that to leave the door open if they come up with any other thing than we believe is the structure here? Because that group just newly started. They have the second session, and you or some other people have been there, and they know that that may come up to have a different outcome. This is just to mention that. Yeah.
Thank you. I don't think that questions, and perhaps someone else will think otherwise, I don't think that the questions need to capture that possibility, because we're asking about mechanisms, et cetera. And I think that whatever the output of that group is something, but that group is really talking about how to handle the proceeds from a previous auction, whereas here we're talking more about the doing of an auction, et cetera. But I don't think any future solutions are precluded by the questions we ask at the moment, and I'd be hesitant to suggest that we jump into that how to handle the money from an auction question at this point with this questionnaire. If that's okay, yes, Caboose.
Yeah, please correct me if I'm wrong. Do you believe that that group will maintain the private auction versus the general auctions, or do you think that they might be different, or you add something for the time being, because we don't know. Yeah, we don't know whether this private auction will be taken.
I thought that that group was pretty much focusing on how to spend the money and not on auctions, whether we have them or not, whether we have private ones or ICANN ones. I thought that that group was specifically, and please correct me because I'm not in that group, but and stayed as far away from it as I could, I think. But I think that, that group was looking at, we're sitting on a gigantic pile of money at the moment, or ICANN is, well, we are, and we have yet to figure out how that money is to be utilized, and that group is looking at that issue, not the issue of to have auctions or not have auctions. Yes, and Greg said actually they're talking about the mechanisms for deciding how to spend money, so it's even more meta than I thought. But they're not talking about whether we should have auctions or not. They're talking about how do you spend over half a billion dollars or whatever it is that they have. So basically they're going to decide on the methodologies, and then others, based on those methodologies, will decide on how to spend the money. But they're not talking about our issue. Okay? So has everybody had a chance to read 2-4-6? Are we fine on 3-4-6? Are we fine on 3-4? Oh, only a quarter of a billion. I thought we were up to half a billion. Doesn't matter. Okay. So moving on to 5. Accountability mechanisms. There's 3-5-1 and 3-5-2. Any questions on 3-5 accountability mechanisms? Comments? I hear none. And moving into work track 4. internationalized domain names, and technical and operations. 4.1, internationalized domain names. We have 411, 412, 413, and 414. Any comments on any of those questions? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, no typing, rounding error is funny. 4.2, universal acceptance. We have 4.2.1. That's it. Any comments on 4.2, universal acceptance? I see none. 4.3, evaluation, application evaluation. So 4.3.1, technical evaluation, which has multiple parts. 4.3.1.1, 4.3.1.2, 4.3.1.2.1. Wow, goes down. So three levels of hierarchy in that one question. Any comments on that question? No? Okay. 4.3.2, financial evaluation. This section has gone through a certain amount of rework, I believe. Oh, no, it's a later question, bastard. But on 4.3.2, we have 4.3.2.1, 4.3.2.2, 3.2.3, 4.3.2.4, 4.3.2.5, 4.3.2.6, 4.3.2.7, 4.3.2.8. There's been a fair amount of work there. Jeff, please.
Yeah, I just want to thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I want to point to a comment from Trang, who says that 4.3.2.3, the applicant guidebook criteria did not include an evaluation of the applicant's business model, meaning question 18 was not evaluated, and the projections in question 46 was not evaluated against the proposed business model in question 18. So if we go back to what we have in the question, it says, in the prior round, detailed business plans were provided, yet it is unclear how or even if they were evaluated. Well, Chang is saying that it is clear that it was not evaluated. And then it says, do you believe that this information is needed to evaluate an applicant's financial capabilities? Please explain, how should changes in business plans during the application process be handled? So is that,
so
given the information,
that question holds. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, given the information Trang has given us, is that question still needed?
This is Aubrey. I think so. I think, though, because it was in the application, I think if we just change the sentence that says it's unclear whether they were evaluated or not, just say, you know, they were not evaluated, but the rest of the question holds. If we want a question removed, we should ask the question whether it's a valid thing, whether it was used or not, et cetera. So I think the question still holds. It's just that the sentence, you know, we don't know whether it was used or not, is can be changed. That would be my view on it, that the question is still a valid question. Okay. What do other people think? Is it worth keeping that question? Does anybody object to keeping that question with just wording it to reflect what is the case, that they weren't used? I see nobody wanting to comment. Trang, since you brought up the comment, does that seem an okay approach to you, that we tell the truth, but we still ask the question? Thank you, Trang, for the data update and for that. Okay, so going back to the financial evaluation of 4.3.2, anybody got comments? Yes, Jeff, I see your hand again. Is that the band from before?
No, this is a new one, sorry. Thanks, okay. Jeff Newman. I had put a comment in the draft about 4.3.2.5. It's my opinion that I think we
I'm not sure I want to ask or we want to ask this question, just because it seems like it's a little bit loaded. It's a loaded question in rereading it. And it talks about replacing it with the solution, like a checkbox and self-certification. To me, it just seemed a little prescriptive. And I think could be, if someone wants to make that recommendation, they, I believe, could make that recommendation in the response to any one of these other questions. Or if not, we could ask kind of as an overarching question at the end, are there any other comments you have on the evaluation, on the financial evaluation process? But I reread this question a couple times and thought that we probably should not be asking this.
Okay. So your recommendation is that we drop this question. Let me see. Is there anyone else that wants to speak to the issue of dropping this question? Does anybody object to dropping this question? I see nobody jumping up to support keeping the question. I'll give it another couple beats. Okay. Seeing no objection to dropping the question. Yes, there's people out here. They type every once in a while in the chat. And some people speak. Greg there. Yes, Greg, are you typing about your existence or agreeing with dropping the question? Thank you. So seeing no disagreement with dropping the question, let's drop it and let's remember to renumber following it. Okay, Martin Sutton has a comment. I'll wait. Find a drop. Okay. So seeing no objection to dropping it, let's call it dropped and renumber. Okay. Moving on. Well, let me just check again since we stopped off a couple times in 432 financial evaluations. Are there any other comments or such about financial evaluation at this point before I move on? Okay, seeing no new comments, I will move on. Okay, where are we? We're at general questions. It's really just general question. 4311, and anybody have an issue with the general question? I see no comments on that. Yes, Greg. Greg, I don't hear you.
This is Jeff. He typed something in the chat, 4.3.2.6, ask or both. So if we go to 4.3.6, 2.6, do you believe that financial capability could be demonstrated at application time, or could it be demonstrated at or just before contract signing time? And I guess Greg wants to add the or both, or at both times.
Okay, so that was positive. Right, so that could should possibly be an extra small question, or should it be done at both times? I would put it as an extra sentence as opposed to complex concurrent section sentence. And I see Steve has moved his pointer there. Any objection to that change from anyone? Okay, I see no objection. I'm sorry to hear you have no voice, Greg. Okay, moving on. So we're still fine with 432. And sorry I missed your comment before, Greg. And thank you, Jeff, for catching it. Okay, we were at 433 on the general question. And that was, there were no comments on that. I will move on. 4.4, name collision. Name collision's got four questions. 4.4.1, 4.4.2, 4.4.3, and 4.4.4. Are there any comments on any of those questions? I don't see any. There's a Does Steve, you have a comment in there? Oh. Okay. I'm not sure what to make of your comment, Steve. What does it relate to? Please go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Avi. This is Steve from staff. This relates to what you were just discussing, the comment from Greg regarding adding that it could be at application time, at contract tracking.
Sorry.
Yeah, that one. Is just, there's a similar question in the technical section, so I just carried it over to that section.
That was asking about, right, about, yeah. That was in the RFPs testing, and should that be done or at both times?
Actually,
seems a reasonable thing to do, right?
Actually, not
I don't
RFP
remember the
section.
Questions.
It's actually not an RFP section. It's in 4.
Oh, it's the technical
3,
capability
one.
Questions. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
What
up
was
the
number again?
4311.
4311. The one we were just on. No. 4311. Oh, we have a numbering problem under 433. 433, the number under it says 4311 as opposed to 4331. So a numbering edit. Okay, so let me go back to 4311 as suggested. Sorry for my business here. So 4311 was, do you believe the technical capability should be demonstrated and or at both times? Is there any objection to adding that or at both times on this question as well? I just want to make sure we've cleared it with people. And Trang says the timing question probably applies to background screening as well. Is there any objection to adding it to the background screening question as well? And just sort of have parity between all of these screening questions. No objection. So we'll go ahead and make that change in all the places. I see no objections. I see fines. And nobody seems to object. If you object, quickly put up a red cross. I mean, a white cross on a red background. Okay, thank you. And we were at 4.4.4. There had been no issues on 4.4.4 name collisions, correct? I had moved off that to deal with other questions, so I come back to that. That one, fine. Any objections? Any questions? No? Okay. Moving to 4.5, security and stability. We have 5.1 and 4.5.2. Any issues or questions on those? Okay. And now we're at the miscellaneous questions. We have 4 questions under miscellaneous questions. There was one edit made to those. Yes, Caboose.
I wonder why we call them miscellaneous questions. Because miscellaneous questions might have given the impression that they are less important, or they are trivial, or they are not in the main context. This is the point one. I have another point that before this section, we have collision, and before that, we have general question, and now we have miscellaneous question. Wouldn't it be better that any question of general question or and or miscellaneous question, when we possibly change the title, would become one after the other, because all of them relate to questions. So first, still we need the miscellaneous question. Couldn't we call them something else, additional question, supplementary question, complementary question, and so on, rather than miscellaneous question? Miscellaneous question means that they are entirely different from each other and have no relation with each other. Is that the case? All of the questions here has no relation with each other? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think in terms of the 4.3.3 general question, that is a general question that is specifically related to work track 4 questions. It was just not one that fit in the category of any of the previous questions. It was a general question about that category. I think that these miscellaneous questions, and we could call them questions that are not part of the work tracks, the work track questions, or, you know, I don't want to use overriding questions or general questions. It could be general question as opposed to miscellaneous, if miscellaneous had negative connotation. But basically, these are questions that were not specifically part of any of the work tracks. And so, therefore, they're in a question. Paul is suggesting additional questions. I am fine with additional, Caboose, would additional questions work well for you? It's just that these questions don't fit with the other categories. Okay, I think we'll call it additional questions. Anybody objects to calling it additional questions instead of miscellaneous questions? Okay, it's now additional questions section. Any comments on any of the four additional questions? Seeing none. Yes, Caboose.
Yes, in question four, I fail to understand what you mean by data points. Do you have any suggestion for data points? Data is data. What is data points? That where the data are, what do you mean by data points? Thank you.
Okay, data points, I think, is just a way of expressing the fact that are there any bits of data, are there any metrics, are there any other items of data, data points, basically describing the kinds of data that someone may want to collect, additional data points, analysis studies. So we could find a different phrase for data points if that one is problematic. It's common. We could just say, do you have any other suggestion for data?
Teacher?
Yeah.
No?
That's. Huh?
I said data features, data categories,
data
but not
features,
data points.
No, I think this is things we would want somebody to do an analysis of, things we would want somebody to measure that would help benefit the work of the PDP. So, in other words, all the way through this, we've measured this thing, we've looked at that thing. All of those things together are data points. They're points of data that we are using in the process of doing this PDP. So we're asking people, of all the data points that we've discussed above, are there any other data points that we should be looking at? So, and Cheryl gives, so, if someone would suggest I think data may be too general for suggestions for, you know, because I think it would be for other data that should be collected or something like that.
My problem is points.
So somebody can come up.
My problem is points, yeah. Data
right,
points.
I understand. Yeah, you're having. And data point is really one of those, not like hyphenated words, but words that go together. It's quite common. Katrine has said it's quite common as a standing expression in you know, statistical, scientific, and other literature, business literature. Schubert says now data point, an item of factual information derived from measurement or research. So I think I'm seeing a certain support for keeping data point, that it's a normal. It's a normal reference in English.
If no one has any problem,
okay?
I don't have a problem. I just joined the other. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I think most of us are comfortable with it and have seen it much. So thank you for that. Okay. Asking once again, are we all fine with additional questions? I'm not trying to prolong this, mind you. I just want to make sure. At this point, I think we've completed the second reading. I ask at this point, before turning it back to Jeff, anything that we went through that you wish you had commented on, but I went by too quickly, and you really want me to go back there? I see no one. And so, therefore, I thank you all, and I turn it back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Caboose,
well,
I see your hand up. I jumped too soon. Caboose's hand is up.
But not any question, not comment. Just to put on record our sincere appreciation to you, Aubrey, and those others who have worked very hardly and during weeks and hours preparing the draft, going through them several times. And I think this is a masterpiece of the work, and this is something really appreciated, and we would like that to be mentioned in the records of this meeting, that sincere appreciation and in-depth gratitude was referred to those who have worked on that, in particular Jeff and others and Avery. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. As the mouthpiece for the group at the moment, I thank you for all of the people that did a lot of work. I just did most of the talking. And thank you very much. And thank you. And it's yours again, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thank you, Kavos. Thanks for the applause I see from Cheryl. I didn't know we had that icon, so thank you. Now that I know that we have that. So that was our main item for today. One thing I do want to say before we all get on our in planes and start heading there is that we are, Aubrey and I and some of the leaders of the GNSO are trying to work on creating an over the internet intersessional between Copenhagen and Johannesburg to discuss geographic names issues. So we hope to have some sort of announcement at the Copenhagen meeting on Saturday so that we can get rolling on plans for that, to discuss those issues. So with that said, I just wanted to kind of tease that information and wish everyone who is going to be there in Copenhagen a safe flight. And for those that are going to participate remotely, I really encourage you to do so for Saturday's session. So thank you, everyone. And are there any last questions? Seeing none, I think we could end this meeting.
Thank you all.